The disappointing outcome in Stillwater. The Longhorns come up short once again, though, in unfathomable. All right.
Yeah.
Almost an unfathomable, reminiscent manner of games they lost last season, where they're up double digits, up at halftime, up in the fourth quarter, and then they lose the game.
Loss.
I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, if you just start looking, you know, one time is considered an outlier, right? Happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two times can be considered a coincidence.
Yep.
Three times, I believe, that's when you start identifying a little bit of a pattern. Four times, that's a trend. And five times is
there's a
habitual.
Lot going on. Yeah, there's
that's
a lot going on if
that's
it's
a,
five
that's,
times.
That's habit. That's,
yeah.
That's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, look at Steve Sarkisian's losses now. He's 10-10. And in six of those losses, he's had a halftime lead.
Yes.
And in six of those losses, he's had double-digit leads.
And that's the biggest part about it right there, the double-digit leads. It's like you're – it's
and
not like it's a one.
Leads
yeah.
The, I mean, not in six. I think it's five fourth quarters, but either way. Like it's
– yeah. It's about finishing. And the fact that you had opportunities on short fields in the second half.
So I take it back. Five double digits. So I take that back. I think I said six. Five.
Okay.
It's five. It's half of his losses have been with a double digit lead.
Okay.
Six of them with a fourth quarter lead. Six of them with a halftime lead, I believe. So there you go.
And
I want to make sure I get the stats right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I still sit here and I continue to say that there were some times where the field was shortened for you and you didn't close out. You had a great punt return late in the game by X-Man. You had a turnover. You had the punt that we both looked at each other and said, "Did that touch that guy? Did
it touch?" I know. I thought right. I was like, "There's no way." Because it was Brendan Presley,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
He's a veteran. He's like a senior, isn't he?
Yes.
I said, "There's no way a guy with that much experience."
Is
ran
that close
up to that
a ball.
Football
yes.
And that got that close to ball, and then didn't even go try to recover it
right.
at all. Just decided no. So he was. Sometimes you have a brain fart.
Yeah,
he had
and
one.
And he and I figured it was bad because he kept doing the "I didn't touch it." He wasn't emphatic about "I didn't touch it."
Yeah.
And then when he got a flip, and still Texas could not take advantage of the short field.
They did not.
Those are the types of things, and that's how you realize, hey. Something's not right. Something's not clicking. And then you put up 31 points in the first half, go to halftime, and you got the lead to your point, Rob. And then all of a sudden, you only score 3 points in the second half with all the talent on this team. And I know, we could talk about the situation with Quinn, 30 incompletions. That's a lot of incompletions. But I also want to give some of this to some of the players, too. They got to make plays. There was opportunities to make some plays, and I'm not just talking about Quinn having 15 overthrows, by the way. Good gravy. There was something really not going on right at that game, but there were some drop passes. There were some passes that were in the vicinity of the receiver, and I don't know whether they ran the wrong route or didn't make the adjustments to the ball. That ball in the end zone to X-Man. That's a good play. Was he supposed to go to the corner,
that was a good
or
ball.
Was he supposed to run? I mean, that he looked like he tripped a little bit
X-Man,
on the way.
That was X-Man's fault.
Yeah,
if you look, just ask him as a football guy. That's X-Man's fault. That ball was on the money.
Yeah,
X-Man either misjudged it or started to trip on the turf monster for some reason.
The turf monster got a lot of people during
turf
that
monster
game.
Will get you. but no, you're right. Listen, I think we'll get to the Quinn Ewers story because I know it's a big headline. I know it's a big storyline. But you still, like I said, you're up at halftime. You're up double digits. You got a chance.
Yes.
Up in the fourth quarter, you got a chance to win that game. You just have to make adjustments. And once again, so if you're asking me, like, "Hey, man, Rod B, who are you going to blame for this loss?" All right, I'd start with Sark, the head coach, the guy that's paid the big bucks.
Yep.
You got to make the adjustment. Your quarterback's not having a great day.
Not even close.
You have the greatest luxury in college football for a quarterback having an off day.
You got the cheat code.
You got the greatest insurance policy for a quarterback having a bad day in all of college football.
Yes.
You got two of them.
Yes.
Bijan and Rojo.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, Sark. No excuse. I know he had a. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day by Quinn Ewers. I'll admit, I was, as a black man, don't use this word very often, flabbergasted.
Don't be flabbergasted.
As to how bad it was. Yeah. Maybe it was a fingernail that, you know.
Yeah.
Can we sound, man, it's very Aggie. I know. It's very Aggie-like, guys. I got to tell you.
Trust me.
Very Aggie-like.
Oh, my goodness.
To break out the fingernail theory out here. That, I'm glad that even Quinn Ewers was like, nah, man, I ain't got nothing to do with it. And Sark's like, they ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right.
I'm glad. Because, guys, even if it did, it's very unbecoming.
Yep.
Of a team trying to build a winning culture, football culture.
Yep.
To complain about fingernails?
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Toenails I lost from wearing Reebok cleats? I lost at least 3-4 toenails.
Man, I feel bad for you on those cleats. Like, them things was heavy, too.
Toenails gone.
And them things was heavy.
And they grow back.
Yeah.
They grow back. Toenails gone. I don't even went to the trainer about it. I was like, man, toenails gone. That's just where it goes. I'm not. No.
Yeah.
I'm all good.
Yep.
out that. It was the wind. Well, I thought he had the greatest arm talent.
Right.
Since.
Yes.
No, man, that's just anybody. I don't think there's ever been an
arm
talent.
It's the most beautiful arm I've ever seen in my life.
If he's got arm talent that great, you can't be saying it's wind. And I'm glad he shot that down, too.
Yep.
Quinn Ewers is my kind of guy.
Yeah. He took. Right. He owned it. He owned every bit of what happened. And he didn't make an excuse. And you sit back and you look at this game. When you have a quarterback that is struggling the way that he was, I mean, you and I were sitting there looking at this game. It's like the very first pass looked like a fastball, and he threw it behind X. And then the next one, when he threw the interception, he threw the ball. The ball jumped out of his hand, but he dropped his elbow, and he wasn't set to make that throw, and it elevated.
Yeah.
And I was just like, something's not jiving. We saw before the game that he was wearing a glove, and that was the first time anybody had ever seen him wear the glove, so we knew something was going on. But when the game is happening and you see certain things start to trend in the wrong direction, you have the greatest.
Put some Bijan on it.
Thank you.
I told you before the season started.
Exactly.
This is easy. You got an open book test every week.
Yep.
And you got all the answers to the test. The answer is, just give it to Bijan and Asada Rojo. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I don't really. And by the way, they were a dominant force.
Yeah, again.
Bijan and Rojo.
Again.
I mean, they really were. Both of those guys were extremely productive for you. So if I'm putting the loss on anybody, I got to start with Sark, because Sark should understand early on, he's a quarterback. My quarterback ain't got it.
Yeah.
He just had this situation versus Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Just had it. Now, if we are talking about the inability to execute the running game down the stretch,
that's
which we can get to
totally
X's and O's, we can get to that too.
Yep.
Then we got another issue, though.
Yep.
Right. Then we got a bigger issue. If Sark's like, man, I don't trust that running game. You don't trust the running game with the two best the best running back combo in the country and the best running back room in the country.
The people that are making people miss in a phone booth.
That would be a problem.
Yep.
But I just saw you do it versus the best defense in the Big 12 late in the game when it mattered most. So it's hard for me to believe you couldn't have done it versus Oklahoma State. Now, it's on the road. It's different. That is true. And you were one-dimensional.
Yeah, well, you became – yeah, they wanted, they felt like –
they did not trust – they knew Quinn Ewers didn't have
exactly.
It. They basically dared Quinn Ewers to make some of the throws. They manned up across the board. They doubled X-Man. They knew you only had eyes for X-Man. You built the entire passing game around X-Man. You didn't look at anybody else. They moved
– 17 targets towards X-Man.
They moved their corner, Muhammad, inside. Smart move. Left him one-on-one oftentimes with Jordan Whittington and said, you know what? Hey, man, that's just a crapshoot. We'll just, wherever, you know what I mean? We'll just throw it up and see where it lands with that.
Yeah.
And they depended on Sark to get tunnel vision around X-Man in the passing game. But also, once they saw Quinn Ewers didn't have it, it was easy. It was an easy game plan. Load the box, stack the box, always match Texas with numbers in the box, which we'll get to. I got a Derek Mason quote where he talks about that. And they fixed the counter issue. They got killed on the counter, and they decided they were going to fix the counter issue. Even Mike Gundy said we couldn't fix it on the sideline. He said it was so loud. And I'll give you the quote. Matter of fact, I'll give you the quote. He said it was so loud they couldn't even fix their issues on the sideline. So imagine how hard it was for Texas. Here's this quote. He says, defensively, well, we couldn't get it done quick enough on the sideline, but we could get it done at halftime. We were talking about it, but it's loud. It's just not as easy. Sometimes you can't. We really couldn't get it done, but we did get a change at halftime, got it cleaned up, and played better.
Yeah.
They really couldn't. It couldn't fix the counter because the crowd was so crazy and loud. They couldn't even communicate well enough to everybody how to fix the counter.
To their own sideline. They couldn't.
Because the sideline's closed. Exactly. It's like a college basketball environment.
It is.
And sometimes it works to their detriment.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
Not to their advantage.
Exactly.
And there it did, but also it worked to their advantage because there was no doubt, Harge. Yours was shook.
Yeah, definitely shook.
Shook.
And he's not used to, like you said it, it was back-to-back weeks where he didn't look sharp with the passing game. And I know somebody hit us up just a little while ago talking about his mechanics. That's something that I've been saying from the very beginning. I think sometimes when you're blessed with an arm like that and you can throw from all platforms, you get lazy. How many times did we hear that before where he was just flipping the ball? Yeah, it was cute, but I said that will come back to haunt you in a time when you need to make big plays and be able to step into throws to be that accurate. It's fun.
Right.
It looks good.
No, you're right.
But
it did come back to haunt him.
Yeah, it comes back to haunt you. That's right.
And the fingernail.
And the fingernail.
He did. He never steps into his throws.
No.
Really. I mean, I would probably say half the time he doesn't step into a throw.
Right.
He doesn't set his feet.
And he did have X-Man on a post that he overthrew him, one of the 15 overthrown balls. He had him on a post wide open, beat him.
He did.
Didn't put enough loft on it. I know he got hit, but when you have talent like that, you know exactly. Because you see there's nobody back there. All I got to do is throw it up a little bit higher and let him run under it or make it a 50-50 ball because I will put money on X-Man every time in that situation. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we're going to peel back this onion and look at where the failures were. But there were some good things that did happen in the game, like the running game, like Bijan being able to bust open. And he should have had 28 carries again. And I love the fact of what you brought up last week to go ahead and win the game. You put it on your best players, right? You put it in their hands and said, go win me this game if you can.
Now your best player, you're also your leader.
Your best leader,
which is Rojo, and your best player, which is Bijan.
Yes.
They happen to play the same position. Makes it convenient for you.
Yes. Makes
say,
it a simple
lean
situation.
On those guys.
Yes.
Now, I do wonder, because like I said, situationally, if you're just looking at schematically, they did stuff the box. So Texas was one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Sark settled down Quinn in the Iowa State game, he wasn't able to settle him down.
Right.
He cannot sell him down. He cannot. And I think that's on Sark. Sark allowed Quinn to have way too many vertical reads downfield.
Yep.
Man, he should have made them read simple. What were his best, the longest plays he had? They were dump offs, essentially.
Yep.
The half wheel route to Bijan Robinson when the orbit return motion to X-Man.
Yep.
Easy throws for him. Give him more of those.
Yep.
He's obviously struggling.
Yep.
Why you got him reading vertically downfield when the wind is, you know, all over the place and he's got a fingernail or whatever the hell is going on? Why do you have him reading vertically downfield so much?
That was one of the things you and I were talking about before the game. We were talking about how we could set it up to run the pass to run.
I asked
behind the line of scrimmage.
And I asked Jeff Howe the same question. What did I ask him?
Yep.
How do you get this young guy in a rhythm on the road? How do you get him in the groove? How do you get him confident?
Get him the
ball.
That's
my biggest issue.
Yep.
Offensively. The biggest concern.
Yep.
I asked them both the same question. That's my biggest concern. And Sark, obviously not concerned with it. He had no plan at all for his quarterback going off the rails.
Yeah.
He went off the rails with him.
Panicking. But you always talk about it. Sometimes when they don't have that big play, what happens? He gets antsy.
He gets antsy.
And then he starts to go,
he gets play calling insecurity.
Yeah.
He gets play call or like writer's block, his play calling block.
Yep.
When he doesn't get a big play, he doesn't get it early on, he's not a confident play caller. And then all of the cheat codes disappear,
yep,
too.
Yep,
and it's like, well, what
yep,
are we doing?
Yep.
And if you're going to do that, then run the ball. But he didn't even really run the ball either. It's inexcusable, guys. Like I said, it's habitual now. This is who he is.
Yeah, it seems
who he
to
is.
Be.
He's
it
a,
seems to
he's
be.
He's a three-quarter coach.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, and I hate to say it. He's a three-quarter right now. You can always grow and become something different.
Yep.
You can evolve. You're a three-quarter coach right now.
Yeah.
You're really good for three quarters. You may be a top 10 three-quarter team. When I look at three-quarters of football, I think you can play with anybody in the country.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
we got to play four quarters.
There's a fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We don't get to judge on the three-quarter adjustments because you didn't have any. So to me, that's, like I said, that's what I come back to. Harge, do you believe that he should have win Hudson Card?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And not for a long time. Not for the entire game. He didn't have to. He needed to let him settle down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about the weekend and what's going on across college football, but you saw what Dabo Sweeney did.
Yeah, he did. I saw
it. He made it. And then he came right back and he said, that is my quarterback. DJ's going to start. He's my starter. He's our quarterback. And Cade Klubnik was like, cool. I got in there, got the game going, did my thing, and now we're back to where we were. Even if it's just for a little bit to change up the optics so he can see it. Because there might have been some things that he wasn't noticing at times.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he can come back and say, oh, okay, we know it. We've been out there. We've been in those situations where things aren't going the way we thought they were going to go. And
of course,
now I start pressing a little bit and I start changing the things that I'm doing. It's part of football. It's part of any sport that you're playing. The game is called for adjustments. And if the adjustment is, I got to pull him out, because how many times are we going to sit here and say, you got to let him go through it. You got to do it. Look. I would agree to a certain extent, but the fact of the matter is this was a huge game, a huge opportunity for you to change the narrative of your trajectory, the story of your second half failures, and you didn't do the change. Like I said, he would have came out and maybe done two series, three series. I don't care, but change it a little bit so you can go back and adjust to everything else. Look, I remember – against Texas Tech, Vince Young did not have it that day, right? Did not have it. What did they do? They brought in Chance Mock. What did Vince do the next week? Went back as the starter. There's times that things like that help your team. And this guy has been busting his butt all week at practice, doing the things that he's supposed to do. I'm like, people are jumping to the point of, oh, this is Quinn's program. This is who the quarterback of the future of this program is. It's Quinn Ewers. We all know that. But every once in a while, you got to take a step back and understand, hey, man, I just ain't got my fastball today. Justin Verlander gets pulled out when he ain't got it. People get pulled out of the game when they don't have it, and you're like trying to get W's.
Yeah.
W's. No, that's the bottom line.
I'm with you on that. I think it's a great point. I'll play, because I'll play devil's advocate, right? Mac Brown at that time, was that 04?
I think it was 04.
It was 04 when he pulled him. And trust me, I was here during the Chris Sims Applewhite year, so nobody
you knew what that was.
Everybody get bitched, all right? You ain't playing well. I get it. And even with Dabo Sweeney, I will say they have a lot more skins on the wall. So if,
Fair enough.
When the fit hits the shan, they have skins on the wall where people will say, you know what, we trust in Dabo. We trust even in Mac at the time. I think Mac had more skins on the wall, even at that early tenure, than Sark does.
Yep.
Sorry, 5-7 last year, and you on your way to being 7-5. Let's be honest with you. All right, just be honest. So I think they had more skins on the wall. Sorry, I'll just get to it to Patrick in a second.
Yep.
I think they had more skins on the wall, and I've said it before. All coaches want to avoid a quarterback controversy, because a quarterback controversy is basically an election, right? It's an election in the locker room, and we all know contested elections lead to very volatile opinions on both sides, that kind of thing. And you don't want that in your locker room. You don't want that with your fan base at all. And that's what he's trying to avoid right now.
Which is respectful. I get that. But again, I keep trying to say, I don't think – he's in any danger of his job. I want everybody to understand that. But when you're sitting here in the narrative of your time right now at the University of Texas is what, Rod? What was the numbers you just gave us about not closing the games?
Texas football's a blue because they can't finish.
But that's the thing. This is the third different quarterback who can't play in the fourth quarter. I don't think it's the quarterback. And I get he had a bad game. I don't think it's the quarterback.
Ding, ding.
I think you put in Hudson Card, it's still a three and out because you're throwing passes Hudson Card can't make.
Winner.
That's the problem.
Somebody just hit the nail on the head.
So it's not a problem of putting Hudson. Yeah, fine, put him in. You still lose. Now Hudson looks bad too.
Yeah.
Because the play calling, you Mike Gundy went in the halftime and said, hey, this is what they're doing, let's fix it. Sark went in halftime and went, guys, we're on the road to victory.
Right.
And walk back out with the same game plan.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, you know what? You're going to figure it out, Quinn. Hey, you know what? We'll just keep countering. They clearly can't stop it. They're not going to go into halftime and figure out how to stop the counter, will they? Oh, they did? Okay, well, now we don't really have a run game. So, Quinn, just keep throwing it. You'll figure it out.
I like how he thinks there's only one way to run the counter. I heard Bookie talking about today.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, six ways to run the counter. You can add different. Ask my man Chanel. You can put different elements in cheat codes and concepts with the counter and still run the same basic play, but then add a lot of elements to it. They didn't do much of that either. They kept trying to run the same basic play.
No, you just want to go, hey, man, do the same thing we told the Cowboys. Simplify in that fourth quarter. Just go, hey, man, just get 6-yard pass, man. Look, he's nailing these 7-yard, 8-yard, 10-yard passes, but if you're making him throw the ball 30 yards,
how many
he's missing every one of them.
We run?
Let's keep every pass inside 20 yards, and I bet Quinn can lead us down the field. And we'll eat clock, and we'll get our defense some rest because our defense is getting eaten up right now. Our secondary played, what, over 100 plays of these kids?
Yeah.
Anyone, it doesn't matter what quarterback you play.
That's a great point. Because Texas Tech.
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah. Hey, last year, Hudson Card had problems last year. Casey Thompson had problems. It's not one
quarterback. That's a great point.
Because like I said, listen, one time you can throw out there, that's a happenstance, that's an outlier. Twice, you go, you know what, coincidence happens. That's, those kind of crazy things happen. Three times, you start identifying a little bit of a pattern there. Four times, that's your trend.
Mm-hmm.
And five times, that's habitual, guys.
Yeah.
That's who you are. That's just... Sorry, guys, in life. That's anybody cross you five times, you probably that's who they are.
Yep. All
right? When somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time.
You give them that many times?
Exactly. You should. I'm just telling all ones that. You know? My point is, and Patrick's right, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. We've seen multiple quarterbacks, and in different situations, it doesn't matter. And they've still been in the same situation. They've been up double digits, up at halftime, up in the fourth quarter. I don't give a damn what the situation is. You should be able to close as a coach. In most of those, and he's not.
Well,
he's not. And those, you're right. Not a lot of screens.
Not a lot of screens.
I remember all year long, I've been saying, "Hey, they're gonna put Xavier Worthy in the backfield." They did it.
Yep.
They did it. They put him in the backfield just like they do Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, and then they ran
they ran him out
in the backfield, out from the backfield, and ran him, got a first down with it. And I said, "Hey." Do it again. No, they did it one time. Do it again. Because it's an easy completion.
Yeah.
All of his best throws were, orbit return motion to Xavier Worthy. Easy. Got to scheme him open. Oh, Bijan Robinson, scheme him open. Ooh, easy dump off. Those were the best. Even the Xavier Worthy crossing route he caught.
Yep.
Right? And so I was like, throw more crossing routes, more high lows. Make it easy on him. Why is he looking downfield? It was insanity. What is the definition of insanity?
Yep. Hey, believe me, I made a shirt. Because that's what Tom Herman used to say.
I swear, it was just
3.8.
Groundhog Day, man. Like I don't
just look at the game film and see what those other teams are doing to whoop your butt every week on defense, throwing crossing routes over the middle, and be like, hey, why don't we try that? It seems to be working for every single team we're playing.
And I would
admit,
your quarterback was off, so it's tough to game plan anything when your quarterback is off. But like I said, I think you could have made life easy on him. Hard set screen game would have been great. I think you should have put, man, Jay Witt in the slot. It was pretty obvious they were going to go one-on-one. And that's why they moved Muhammad, their corner, inside.
Yep.
Great move by Derek Mason, right?
Just smart.
Strategy. Great strategy there. But, man, they didn't run a ton of RPOs where the glance route, the slant, basically they run the slant or the skinny post to the slot to Jay Witt. They didn't run a ton of those RPOs. But, man, they ran one, and it hit. It was wide open. And they were playing eight in the box, and they were trying to stuff the run. And I know you don't want to throw it on early downs. So you're going to throw it on early downs. Yo, Jay Witt on that glance was money. That would have been money because they would have went for the run action.
Yes.
They were trying to stop the run. They were telling you,
they already
not
going
to run on us in the second half. We're going to stack the box, and we're stopping the counter. So what are you going to do now? So that's why they kept throwing because they were giving him the pass. They were playing man-to-man. You had one-on-ones. But you didn't hit the one-on-ones. He kept trying to go for Xavier Worthy. He was doubled.
17 times.
What are we doing?
17 attempts.
I got it. It was.
I'm just like, come on, man. You're targeting him, and you got JT Sanders. Billingsley looked good while he was out there.
And it went late. They figured it out almost too late.
That's when they started going across the middle.
JT Sanders late. They figured it out late. It's like, oh, you figured it out too late.
And that last pass to JT off his hand.
That was like best throw of the night for Quinn Ewers. That's typical to see. Best throw of the night for Quinn Ewers and one of your best players. Best
great
hands on the
hands.
Team.
Great
best hands on the team,
yes.
Says Sark. Drops it off of his face mask or hands or whatever, and then they end up getting interception. That is Texas football right now in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yep.
While they're trying to go down and try to tie the game.